The Blue Jays win the series. They pick up a massive win over Tampa Bay. But as we love the performances from Ross Stripling, we start to think about what he could cost. That guy's a free agent. We'll talk about the fact that I think they got to sign him for pretty much whatever he wants. Next on Locked On Blue Jays.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Blue Jays with Matt Bonaparte. I'm Ben Schulman, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Appreciate you guys making us your first listen today, whether it's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Odyssey, Podbean. You can check us out on YouTube. Hey, we might have some interesting YouTube stuff in store for the end of the year. Twitter at Locked On Jays, and email us. Please email us your questions as we get to the home stretch. Locked On Blue Jays Real, R-E-A-L, at gmail.com. The Blue Jays win 5-1 over the Rays. Really a game where they connect on all facets, and it starts with Vladdy connecting on a ball to left field in the first inning.
Yeah, man. I think he's top three home run pimpers in the league. I just added somebody to my list recently. I can't remember who it was. I think I was talking to you. Who was it?
I don't know.
I know. Okay. So, well, my list consists of Vladdy and Aaron Hicks, because when
talking to me about Aaron Hicks, I don't know if you're talking
about, but there was another guy on the list. I can't remember who it was. Anyway, when Vladdy hits a home run, like we were talking pre-pod about how it's a little bit like Ken Griffey Jr., just because the amount of force in the swing is insane. Like, watch his home run back from today. Like, the bat speed is crazy. Like, his bat speed is out of this world. It's fantastic.
And what makes it Griffey-esque for me too is just how like loose it is. Like, he's pimping a home run without trying to pimp a home run, you know? Like, it's just the way that he flows naturally to be in like an amazing pose to look up at it. It did just kind of creep out, but he was jogging to first, so he knew it. But yeah, that was big to jumpstart the offense. We did yesterday. I asked you and a little bit stumped you how long it had been since Springer had hit a home run. How many games do you think it's been since Vladdy has hit a home run?
Oh, I always overestimate this. I'm always like, oh, it's been so long, and then it's been like 7 days or something. I feel like it's been a long time, having said that. Oh, I don't know. I don't want to say something crazy. You're going to say, like, it was this game, and I'm going to remember the home run. But I'm going to say it was like 13 games ago.
It was 14 games ago.
Okay, I'll take that.
Very nice. Very nice. Or I guess it was kind of 15 games ago, because he went 14 in a row without hitting one. And then on the 15th to last, he hit one against the Cubs. That's the last time. And I mean, he was hitting better recently already, like last six games coming into this one, hitting a clean .333. Four of his nine hits were doubles. So he was already kind of putting it together. But yeah, if everyone's kind of out of their slumps and getting hot right now, that's the best thing possible. With, I mean, Bo still being pretty scalding, Springer hitting the home run yesterday, and then Vlad. That's pretty huge. But my favorite thing to watch is not Vladimir Guerrero Jr. It's Ross Stripling just drop 87-mile-per-hour changeups at the top of the zone where you're exactly not supposed to throw them. And yet, he's got no fear to just live in the strike zone.
Yeah, and we've talked about this a couple times, but just watching him throw the baseball, he wastes no motion. Like, I love his delivery. It's just like point A, point B. Like, I just love the way he throws the ball. And I guess hitters don't, because he has just been dominant this season and just continues to be that dude. 3.03 ERA going into this one. That'll lower.
I got the live.
Another round. What do you got?
Live? 2.94.
Can I guess? Oh, okay. Never mind.
Oh, sorry.
2.94. Sorry. yeah, he's been awesome, man. He's so good. And like you say, like, he can put the ball wherever he wants. It's just like one of those years for a pitcher where it seems like they can do no wrong. He doesn't give up homers really that often, and he just gets guys out. You got to love Ross.
Yeah, another great performance. Unfortunately, the home run comes in the seventh inning, but outside of that, Ross ends up going 6 1/3, 3 hits, including that homer, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. Really, really good. Granted, I'm looking at this before the ERAs have updated. So if some of these guys near the top of the league pitched on Wednesday, then this isn't accounted for. But on the American League leaderboard for ERA, although I don't believe Ross is qualified, where do you think he would sit?
In American League ERA?
Yeah.
I bet you he's up there. I'm trying to think of the guys that are definitely up there. Like Bieber's there, Verlander. I think McClanahan fell off a little bit.
To be clear, right now he does not qualify.
Really?
Yeah.
How many games do you need, or how many innings?
You need 162 innings, I believe, to qualify. You need one a game, essentially. And he has 113. So he's still he could get there. I mean, if he really, actually, no, he can't get there.
Oh, he's got a 119 and a third now.
Right. 119. Still can't get there.
Yeah. I'd say that he's probably top 15.
He is top 15. Would you like to try? And again, he's not qualified, so this is a little iffy, but do you want to try and squeeze in even
more? I'll go eighth.
He would be, I clicked away from it, eighth. One behind Shane Bieber.
Yeah. Come on, I'm the man.
In between Bieber and McKenzie.
Wow. I'm the GOAT, dude.
Yeah. Alek Manoah is fourth, and he is qualified. Gausman is 11th and qualified. But yeah, only 7 qualified pitchers with an ERA below 3. And had Ross been a starter the whole year, he is qualified. Or had he not got hurt, potentially he's qualified. But pretty remarkable season he's putting together. And the Blue Jays, you know, with a big, big win because of his performance. Now they've won the series for sure. They can try and really separate from Tampa Bay with a win tomorrow. But our mind is still on Ross. So after this message from our sponsors, we'll talk about the future of Ross Stripling and the Blue Jays, because it's in a little bit of jeopardy right now. Before we do that, though, let's talk to you about Bet Online, your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all of the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week's games. Bet Online is also your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
It be starting at Bet Online. Okay, let's talk Ross even more. I did a little bit of research into guys who had similar situations going into last offseason and what they got. Coincidentally, it was exactly what I was going to say he should get. The guy that I found that I think maybe not most represents his situation, but does to an extent, is Anthony DeSclafani, who, if you remember, back in like 2016 had like kind of a breakout year, even 2015.
So Blue Jays draft away.
Is it really?
It is.
Look at that. It is. Sixth rounder. That's crazy. Yep. Well, he came up with the Marlins. I remember him with the Reds, took 2017 off, or at least wasn't in the majors for it. Struggled in 18, was a little bit better in 19, was terrible the COVID year, 7.22 ERA. And then last year came back, was really, really solid for the Giants. And the deal he ended up getting was 36 over 3, so 12 AAV. And that's kind of what I was going to say. If you're curious, Ross has never gotten more than $3.7 million in a season. That's what he's getting this season. With the Dodgers, the highest he ever got was 2.1. So that would be a huge upgrade in pay for Chicken Strip. And I think it's, of course, deserving. I don't think they're going to go a lot higher than that because they are going to be dealing with other contracts like Hyunjin Ryu and Yusei Kikuchi and Jose Berrios. But I think 12 he could totally get. And if he doesn't get it from the Jays, he'll get it from somebody else.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, like you said, comparing to his old pay, if he makes all his starts, he'll have made the most starts he's ever made in a year. And have the lowest ERA he's ever had in a year. And the contender with it is 2018. And at that point, he was just going into arbitration. So he didn't exactly have so much control over it. The 3 years does scare me a little bit. He's 33 with one, maybe 2 years pretty spread out of proof that this could be a sustainable thing. And, you know the other guy was on a $36 million 3 year contract?
Can you give me a he was the Blue Jay type hint system? Maybe a shortened version.
He was an all-star last year.
There are a lot of all-stars last year.
No guesses?
Garrett Cole.
He's on the Blue Jays actively.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's Yusei.
Yeah. Yusei is on.
I didn't realize he was on the Blue Jays actively. So, I knew that Yusei had that.
I mean, that's not, you don't want two of those that you don't want. I'm not saying it would turn into that. Trust me.
Imagine if once you give a guy 36 over three, they turn it just to garbage. That would be crazy.
Yeah, that would be a wild cursed contract.
The curse.
But just in general, I mean, Yusei's contract looks like they're going to end up either really trying to make a thing that hasn't worked so far work or eat a bunch of money. Signing Ross to his age 35 season feels like it would potentially be the same thing. Like, is he going to be a $12 million swingman, or are they even going to want him anymore? I mean,
because that's starter money at that point.
Yeah.
If you're going to give him 12 a year, he's now a starter, and it's going to be really tough if you put him in the pen. And then you're going to be having those conversations next year of, well, we got Stripling in the pen, we're paying him $12 million. Do you want to have that conversation? You don't.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we both agree that the next opportunity Alek Manoah would sign a contract extension, you want to sign him. You already have Gausman and Berrios on some pretty big deals. You have $20 million of Ryu next year and $20 million over the next 2 years of Kikuchi. So I mean, I'm not afraid to give out the money, but maybe on a shorter term, because you don't want to be, you know, saddled with big money five starters if something goes wrong. So, I mean, if you could get him at 224 even instead of 336, then I have a slightly better feeling about it. I feel like, what was the Jay Happ Blue Jay contract? They got one from him, I think. Sorry, let me look into this for 1 second.
It's okay, man. I'll filibuster. Yeah. I was, this is a good little tidbit. I was looking, I just love funny baseball names, and I was looking on Baseball Reference at Ross Stripling's similarity scores, which is something that Baseball Reference offers at the bottom of each player page, which shows them, or it shows you what player they're most similar like in history compared to their age. So the number one player who Stripling is similar like through age 31, which is last year, is, funny enough, fellow Blue Jay David Phelps. But if you go down the list, you get some funny names like Randy Gumpert or Juan Berenguer, who is known as Senior Smoke or El Gasolino. So there's my filibuster.
Thank you very much. So they gave Happ, who was also 33 and coming off one of the better seasons of his career, or at least half season. He had been really good for half a season with the Pirates and not as good with Seattle. They gave him 336, and it did work out well for them, frankly. In the first year, he had a 3.18 ERA and 32 starts, which goes down as the second best in a single season in his entire career. And then he had a 3.53 ERA going in 2017, which goes down as the fourth best in his career, and this is a 15-year career. And then he makes the All-Star game in 2018, and then the Blue Jays offload him to the Yankees. So, I mean, that one did work out. I feel like there was a little more proof of J-Hap being a starter that could consistently do it than there is with Ross Stripling. But I mean, for the Blue Jays there, they ended up getting really high quality starting for fewer than $20 million, which is not necessarily accessible very often these days.
Totally.
So I don't know how
it's a fair comp, but the issue is with Hap is that he just doesn't have the aspect of, you still might put him in the bullpen. Like if Stripling struggles, I could see them being like, all right, well, we know he's a bullpen guy. Like, why not kickstart him, get him a bullpen appearance or something like that? And then you have that dilemma. But I mean, if they want to go forward and say, like, this is going to be a guy who's going to start in our rotation for the next 3 years, which I don't think is a necessarily bad decision.
No.
Pay the money.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a bad decision. I think there's a certain amount of risk associated with it, but I agree. I don't think it's a...
Go ahead. I was just going to
ask. I just don't think it's a bad decision. But what's...
Yeah.
And I was going to say, too, truthfully, if a team offered him... You know, if I don't even know, let's just say Colorado offered him 3 years, $35 million. I would be mad they didn't offer him $336 million. You know, I would.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if they're going to get outbid, they should be outbid at like $40 million or upwards.
Yeah. Like, don't, I mean, what worries me is the Steven Matz contract that the Cardinals gave out. Like, I'm not trying to do that kind of money on that kind of years.
Yeah.
But he was a little younger, if I'm not mistaken.
He's 31, so he's a year younger.
Yeah, so he was, yeah. So at least that goes to, you know, his age 30. He was a free agent at 30, presumably. So that goes to his age 34 season, whereas a 3 year with Ross would go to 35.
Yeah, that's fine.
But you can't lose him at the same time. I'd be so demoralized, you know?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, though, you know, it's about what the front office values him going forward. That's always the thing that I think a lot of fans don't realize. It's like, yeah, he might have had a great season, but like they're thinking, okay, if I'm going to sign this guy, I have to sign him for the next 3 years. And what is year three going to look like, kind of thing?
Yeah.
Do you want to pay a guy who's 35 and can't get on the mound and perform? I honestly don't think that would be the case with Ross because he's such a crafty guy who is so seemingly low maintenance. But who knows? It happens to a lot of pitchers, the flashy ones and the non-flashy ones. So it's definitely a potentiality, but it's always a risk you have to take. The Yankees take it all the time. They signed Gerrit Cole to a billion-year contract for $60 billion, and in year nine, he's going to look terrible, and they knew that when they signed it.
We ain't spending Yankee money on this side of the border, unfortunately, but... it's okay because occasionally it's like the 2014 Yankees and then everyone else has fun. Yeah, I think that's all we got to say on that unless you have anything extra you want to throw in. We can talk about those darn Yankees coming up right after these ads, audio listeners. Bang. All right, let's continue.
Nice from us.
The Blue Jays with the win, the 5-1 victory last night, are now a game and a half up on the Rays. They're still in lockstep with Seattle, but they're only six games back of the division. Granted, there are not many games to go. Doing some quick math, the Blue Jays have 19 games remaining to try and gain six. How realistic do you think this is?
I don't think it is. I think they had their chance when the Yankees were the worst team ever. And now they're winning again. So honestly, like, it could happen, but how many games left? Like
19,
17, 19. I mean, you'd have to go. I mean, they are playing really, really good baseball, but you're now at the point in the season where it's not only in your hands, like the Yankees would have to start losing again, which could happen, but they are playing really, really good baseball. 8 out of their last 10. Jays only 7 out of their last 10. So there's that. So I don't think it happens. I mean, your chance was there in August. If the Jays put together a fantastic August, we'd be talking about, do they have a chance do they have a real chance to go into the playoffs with a decent lead? And I don't know if they would have had a chance to combat the Astros, but the Yanks are only six games away from the Astros, so maybe.
pretty interesting. The Jays are separated from the Yankees as much as the Yankees are from the Astros. Yeah, I mean, you bring up a lot of good points. I like almost entirely agree with you. They beat Minnesota in a four-gamer, then beat the Rays in a series, then swept Boston in a two-gamer. They're definitely playing well. And one thing that particularly demoralized me, because I like races, even if regardless of whether the Jays are involved, like you want races at the end of the year. I thought I'd go at the look at the Yankees schedule and it'd be like AL East teams galore, like games against the Rays and games against the Orioles. But it's actually really not that packed with AL East teams anymore after this two-game Boston sweep. They do play 10 of their remaining games against the AL East, but no more Rays. One series against Boston at home at Yankee Stadium, so not too worried about them having trouble there. They do come to the Rogers Center. I think to keep any hope alive, you'd have to sweep. And then they host Baltimore. So I think the prayer would be, you know, they're about to go to Milwaukee. They'd lose some there. They are home to Pittsburgh after that and home to Boston for four games. I wouldn't be shocked if they win four or five of that six-game homestand. Jays have to sweep them. Baltimore has to still be in it and beat them at least two out of three, and then somehow in a four-gamer to end the year at Texas, they'd have to stumble. It just doesn't seem
realistic. Doubleheader in that game, that series, too.
Yeah, doesn't seem realistic at all. However, there could be some good in at least, you know, they can still push it. If they push it, then, you know, the Yankees can't ease up a little bit on some of the high-leverage relievers and stuff like that. They might have to keep the foot on the gas pedal, and who knows, if you end up seeing them in the playoffs, maybe that turns into something that ends up helping you out later.
Yeah, I mean, when I was looking at the playoff teams today, the AL has a really interesting group in that they've all had their ups and downs this year. Verlander's back, isn't he?
Yeah, I would say the Astros have pretty much only been up. That's like the only team.
Yeah, that's the only, I was also going to say, other than Houston, who is just keeps winning, and they're really, yeah, really good.
Slightly slow start, but really good ever since.
Like, aside from Houston, every team has a, wow, I don't want to play them because of this, but also, like, I'd rather play them because of this kind of thing. For the Yankees, you don't want to see Aaron Judge. You really don't. But at the same time, there is no other offense, so what else? I mean, there's not too much to be afraid of outside of him other than a healthy Giancarlo Stanton. But I mean, when IKF comes up to the batter's box, nobody's shuddering.
I am.
Unless you're Minnesota Twins pitching. But I mean, so that's the Yankees. And for the Mariners, we've talked about that in the other episode. Same thing with Cleveland. And then the Rays, I mean, we're kind of seeing it in this series that they're talented, but beatable. Maybe not that talented. They're totally beatable. And you know, pitching goes far for a lot of teams, but I think, you know, Cleveland and Toronto honestly have the best one through three punches. I think Houston's got Houston might have a better
Houston's
one.
Houston's pretty nasty.
Although Framber,
they lose on the three.
Well, don't they have Luis
Urquidy's good.
Who's that guy? Who's the guy who sways?
Urquidy sways, I believe.
No. There's that. I think it's. Hold on, I gotta find it. Do you know that one guy I'm talking about?
I guess he,
like,
not.
He does like the thing. You don't know that? His windup is like insane.
Luis Garcia. No.
Yeah, Luis Garcia. Luis Garcia. It's him. He doesn't. You'll have to see it, Ben. It is comical. Like, the way he winds up is nuts.
I'll watch it after we're done.
But they have a really good. Oh, so Verlander's still on the IL. Okay. So Framber's good. Urquidy's good. Christian Javier has been really good for them. They have
Garcia's
a really good
kind of whatever.
Yes, Garcia is kind of whatever.
He's not bad. Like swing.
He strikes out a lot of guys.
Yeah, I feel like they lose on the three starter a little bit to Cleveland and Toronto, but one is the best of all the ones. And their two is pretty darn close to the best twos.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be an interesting race in the postseason. On the other side, I don't know much about the NL these days, but I'm rooting for the Cardinals.
That's something you worry about in November, what happened in the NL. True. For now. Or until next year when they play everyone, that's not our concern. But, yeah, I think we both agree that it's probably don't waste too much of your emotion on this divisional race. If somehow the Yankees fall on their face again and, you know, they can come after them, that's great. But the main priority is probably securing home field advantage. So I think that's where we'll wrap up today. Thanks so much for making us your first listen, though. He's Matt Bonaparte. I'm Ben Schulman. Make your second listen the Locked On MLB podcast. MLB expert and personal friend Paul Francis Sullivan brings humor, passion, and a unique perspective on every team. The biggest stories around the league as well. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. If you've watched this far, tell Bones that he has a nice Tower Bridge trophy. Be like, hey, Bones, I like that. That's cool.
Guess what?
What?
It's a pencil sharpener.
Nice. Very cool. Now tell him he has a very functional Tower Bridge trophy pencil sharpener. We will see you tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening.